And tonight, what I'm going to talk about, and not prayers of consecration, which are giving to the Lord, usually in the context of something nice. I really want to give something to the Lord. It can encompass all those positive things. Tonight, I want to talk about prayers of committal. Prayers of committal. And these usually, there's exceptions to it, but there's usually prayers of committal fall in the experiences of pain and yuckiness. Stresses and worries and heavy loads and burdens and things like that. These are the ones that, man, what do you do with all of that? And so 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, very popular scripture. And what does it say? Who's got it there? Anybody got it?
Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you.
Casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. My translation said, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, tonight we want to learn. Show us how to cast our cares upon you tonight. Show us how to take our burdens and just put them right on you, to throw them on you, Lord. Heavenly Father, we ask this because often we are bound up carrying all these things needlessly. And so I just ask for you to help us tonight to cast them in your name, we pray. Amen. So what does this look like? That word cast, that Greek word really means to throw. To throw it. Like cast off restraints and maybe cast nets on the other side. Any concept of just throw it. Throw it. Toss it to somebody else. That's really what this is saying. And so it makes me think of another scripture in Psalms 55:22. In this wonderful psalm where he's talking about all kinds of issues that are very painful and stressful to him. I mean, the things that he's alluding to that he's going through in that psalm is pretty painful when you read it. And then when you get to this little chunk of scripture, he says in Psalms 55:22, well, cast your burden on the Lord. Cast your burden on the Lord. He will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. And I look at this, and these two scriptures, they go fit hand in glove. Cast your cares on the Lord, throw it on the Lord. And he's saying there in the Old Testament, he's saying cast your burden on the Lord. And what in the world is a burden? Because if we're going to throw something on God and it's going to be our anxieties, if it's going to be our burdens, I want us to know exactly what the Bible means when it says that. Here's what it means. It means a burden is whatever renders your body or mind weary and weak. What is a burden scripturally? When the Bible refers to it, it's referring to things, whatever it may be. Tangible or intangible. And this is important to know. Tangible, meaning like if you were in the Bible times during the Exodus, you were a slave, you were an indentured servant, you were in bondage. Those were a heavy burden. In the New Testament, if you were a slave or if you had all kinds of burdens physically on you, you had high demands. For those of you in this room where maybe your workload, you're working 14 hours a day and you do that 6 days a week, that is a heavy burden. And that's a physical load that you carry. The Bible is not just a spiritual thing. It's a very practical thing too. So God does address physical burdens. Sickness can be a burden to you because of why? Think of it. Just all the dumb doctor visits and all of the headaches, the cost, the money, the time, the list grows on and on and on. And then the older I get, the more that I realize my body is a burden. And I would love to just throw it on God. You know, it's coming someday, you know. There's so many ways that the tangible burden is seen and experienced in our lives. And I don't know about you, but even the mental weight that we deal with, the Bible, it really does include that. So I know when, you know, for a while, Petraea and I, whenever we would sit down to do family finances, these were one of those great days. They are always great days. They're guaranteed to give me a migraine. They're guaranteed to make us both do laps around the kitchen. If there's something we have to really discuss, and usually if it's something we have to really discuss, that something is me.
and she is so gracious to be able to discuss it. And then I usually have to process it, which is very painful for both of us. So I look at that and I think even the mental burdens that we'll carry, the choices that we have to make, those are real burdens. I know even for my daughter right now, she's a junior and she's thinking about college and next steps. And as she goes through her grades and as we talk about different schools and as letters are just pouring in and as opportunities are making themselves available, some of the burdens are not negative. They're good. She just got this wonderful accolade. They invited her to Chicago Chicago was the one for the crazy expensive one that I was like, no way. There was this wonderful accolade, but it came with a huge price tag, many thousands of dollars, just so that my daughter could go be honored. And I was like, I do not want to honor her that much. And it was just very, very expensive. And it was stressful because it was everything that was good and it was fitting for her future, but it just was a heavy burden financially. And I just like, I can't do it. It's too stressful. I want you to do it, but I can't do it. And then 2 weeks later, we get another invitation for a crew of entrepreneurs, and they're gonna go to Chicago also, and they're gonna do 52 hours straight of stuff, and at the end they're going to get awarded, whoever gets the cool job, whatever business started, they get $20,000 for it, and that price is $250.
She gets to go for free now.
Hot dog. Jesus loves her daddy. Whoa. See, I love church because we tell each other things that we haven't told each other before. She knows I got some blood work done. I just knew something got for free. That is awesome. We need to have church more often so I know what's going on. This is great. That's so funny. So, see that burden? I cast that on the Lord. I don't even stress over it. But those are tangible burdens, right? And then there's those other kinds of burdens. And I got these book bags for a reason. I really did. Come on up here, Troy, just so that I can put this book bag on the back of you for a second. Here's what I believe. See, most of the burdens that we carry, you know, maybe the burden is the fact that you're carrying a burden. So we'll put this other backpack in your backpack. Okay. So maybe that's part of your burden. And that's an intangible burden. He is mentally thinking and dealing with that burden. But here, stay there, because I want to list a couple of other burdens that we're going to put in there. In fact, hey, Trish, would you help me with this too? Would you find things that you could put in his backpack for some of these? Because I think that's why wives are created. They're to help give us some burdens. And it's probably not good to laugh out that loud, you know, that's good. But so here's one of the burdens that I know Scripture talks about. It's the burden as much as you could possibly bear. And for leaders in the church, which you are one, this is a very real. It's a burden of leading in church. There's really a weight, a burden, a task that is heavy to carry, so much so that in Moses' day, they even told him, his father-in-law said, don't you do it. Okay, that's just one, hold it. He's got a lot to carry, so give him some space, okay? She's all ready to load you down, man. Did you really put Skittles? You might have. Okay, so it's that. There's also the burden of Christianity in its religious sense. So you can find something to put in there too? Okay, because even the laws, you read the Bible and you see these high standards, which is probably appropriate. It's Kleenex. That's good. That's good. High standards and laws and things like that. Ceremonial laws in the Old Testament. Today, it's all the do's and don'ts. Still those Ten Commandments and just the two. Love the Lord and love your neighbor. That alone is heavy. And then not just that, but I'm going to say there are at least two really big ones that I haven't mentioned so far. And I don't know. It's got to be pretty big. So the first one is Psalms 32 says this. Verse 3, it says, when I kept silent, I wasted away. And what was he keeping silent about? He makes it clear again in Psalms 38. The heavy burden was my iniquity over my head, hanging over my head. See, a lot of the times what we carry, it's not a job or all those. It's that iniquity, isn't it? And bring Ken up there. I'm thinking, here we've got this little thing right here. This is not that heavy, but it's something, you know. I'm going to put that there too, because that's good. She's looking for more burdens. Did you just grab someone's purse? That's phenomenal. See, that's appropriate because maybe you're a thief and it's just hanging over your head, you little iniquitous man. And I know, look at that. We don't want it to fall either. That looks, is that good? Okay. So now these are some things, but here's something else I want you to imagine because we don't have one here. But now I want you to think of the burdens that this guy can carry as little pets. And they're specific pets because these are my favorite ones that I imagine. I want you to have a pet ape, a pet monkey,
all right,
pet something like that, you know, well, an ape.
Spider monkey.
Spider. Yeah. Something better than a spider monkey. They're like little boogers. I don't even like those. I want real ones. One's like a chimpanzee, like Lord of the Apes or something like that. So he gets this nice little pet ape. Okay? Can you hold like a fake pet ape?
Like a baby?
Sure. This is good. And so he's petting the pet ape. That's it. And now we're gonna name this pet ape. Okay? Now one of the pet apes that you could probably have, we're gonna say it's gonna be just worry about like life, practical life. Okay? Worry about practical life.
Ape like this?
Oh wait. Oh no. It's a small ape right now because he just realized that he needed to worry about it. You know, he just realized that he gotta worry about it. But you know what? We're gonna give you another pet, so we're gonna take this monkey ape thing and we're gonna put him back here. The problem is, the minute I put him back here, worry for life and that, this little pet ape is not dead. He's growing, right? He's growing because he's living. And then let's give you another pet ape. We give you another pet ape, and we're gonna call that one. It's like that one's already big. I don't even know. So then you got another one yet. And that pet ape is probably something like, we're gonna say God's will for your life. I mean, that sounds very spiritual, doesn't it? Very spiritual. In fact, every time you look at God's will, you just pet it and go, I just wish I knew what God's will was.
I wish I knew what God's will was.
See, that's a good little pet, but that's too much to worry. We're going to take God's will and we're going to put this ape right back here. All right. Now, he's got two baby apes in his load back here that he's carrying. He's got all his other stuff. He might have a little bit of iniquity and guilt back here. He's got, those are his pets right there. So he's got these, and they're so cute when they're little like that. They're very manageable. They even fit in the bag. But here's what I want you to imagine. This guy gets saved young. He spends the majority of his Christian life walking around with all this stuff that he's carrying. Look at all this stuff that he's carrying, just the tangible things. And then on top of that, the longer that those pets stay that in his back that he's carrying, they're growing. And those little apes grow to these massive 500, 600 pound gorilla-like things. And now think about this guy. He's got the heart of Christ inside of him. He's got this purpose and this destiny. In fact, he's been coming to church. He's doing all this stuff and he's living for God, but he's carrying this junk. Wow, two big apes, one named the will of God, is beating the snot out of him. Because it started out nice. I just have good intentions. I want to know the will of God. Now it turned ugly and crazy. And he can't get up in the morning without living in fear that he's missing God. And he better pray harder, do something harder, go to the right conference, make an annual trip to Bethel. I don't know what, but I've got to find the will of God. And it's just costing money, costing time, costing stress. He's at the altar every day crying and praying over nothing but a dumb big ape. And then the other ape, sometimes that other ape fights with the will of God ape. And I'm just telling you, can you walk real fast and can you do all the things that God's called you to do carrying all that junk? No, you can't. And so I look at all of this, and tonight's topic is nothing more than us just saying, okay, you have a choice to make. And you represent all of us as Christians. You have a choice. You literally can accept this subpar way of living and never learn the prayer of committal.
where you commit it to the Lord and cast it, throw it on God. And now I want to talk about what it looks like. You can take that is kind of heavy right now. So tight. When, yeah. It's kind of tight. Yeah. Well, you know, that's my backpack and I don't have as much
stuff.
Yeah. To fill it up, you know, like I was just thinking more of pectoral size, but, and so now the process I want to describe, oh, you know, you're going to leave it right there for now. The process I want to describe is touched on in 2 Timothy. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1. You know, some of these things in here that I'm talking about, that heavy burden over our head of sin, no one can live their Christian life free with that junk over them. If you're talking about the future and the provision and you never turn to Matthew 6 and you start looking through all the things that God says he's going to take care of, you don't have to worry about your clothes, your this or that. Don't worry about tomorrow. There's enough worry in that. That whole worry over the future and what God's doing, that is all taken care of by God. If I think of in Philippians chapter 2, verse 13, where it talks about that it's God that works in us to will and to do what he wants us to do. If you're so consumed with finding that perfect will of God or being the perfect Christian, that turns into a big ape in your life and you are carrying a burden. And if it's not that, then often it's just facing giant spiritual fights or even physical battles in life, difficulties, conflicts and strifing and all of that stuff. But boy, there's some stuff we have to learn. And so in 2 Timothy 1, starting in verse 12, this is what we'd read. Somebody want to read that? I was thinking, I wondered if we threw it up there or not. Is it up there? Oh, look at this. For which cause I suffer also these things, yet I am not ashamed, for I know him who I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to guard that which I have committed unto him against that day. That's a very thou this kind of translation. Basically, Paul is telling Timothy, he's saying, hey, all of this Christian faith that I'm telling you to be bold and courageous and not timid or all of that, but to follow hard after God, I'm doing it and I'm suffering, but I can do this with joy because I know who I have entrusted my hope with, who I have cast all of the burden that I am experiencing for following God. Think of this. All the burden Paul was experiencing for following God, he has cast it on the Lord, and his very hope for glory, he knows that it is being guarded and it's in a trustworthy place. The reason I say it in these ways is because the wording, the original language there makes it very clear. Paul painted a word picture of a bank. God basically said through this to you and I want you to take all of the burdens and the junk that you think you have to carry, even if they're good, and you have to be able to make a deposit in God's house, leave it with God, because he alone is trustworthy to guard it if it needs guarding, or to maintain it if it needs maintaining, but it needs to be left with him. Trusted in that position. It's kind of like if you stress over finances, but you've never deposited that whole matter in God's kingdom, no wonder you're always in threat. It'd be like me having millions of dollars, but never finding a bank I could trust in, and always having the fear with me that I'm going to be robbed. I'm going to lose it all. It's all going to be just flittered away. Well, of course I'll feel that. But if I put it in a good bank, what's in a good bank? There's guards, there's big steel door things, there's all kinds of, there's usually an insurance something with it so that even if they did get robbed, then it's going to be insured. I mean, one safety after another safety after another safety. Far better for me to put that money in the care of something that can actually be trusted to care for it. And that's the reality of the things that concern us or worry us. So prayers of committal is actually the way we communicate to God. God, I am taking this issue, this burden that is wearying my mind and my heart, I am going to put it into your bank, and you, with your guards and all your power and all of your strength, you will be able to keep out the boogeyman or keep me from ever getting into it or all that stuff, but it's going to be in your hands. Now, the issue immediately becomes whether or not we're going to go back and withdraw it. We're going to take it right back. How can I put this in Paul's context? In the context that Paul is dealing with, he's encouraging people who are following God, and he's saying, don't let a difficult Christian life be the reason you come and take your hope back out from God's hands. The reason this is important, church, is because 83% of those people who call themselves Christians are unsure of their salvation. 83% of those that call themselves Christians, that's non-Catholic identified Christians. So that means, kind of includes us. Now, we are of the evangelical Pentecostal branch, so we are on a much higher level of assurance of salvation than most. But we're also a very, very small sliver. But in that vast arena of those that are saved, they have very little assurance of salvation today. Why? Because life is difficult and it doesn't add up in the worldly mindset of, well, when I turn my life over to God and I get all these wonderful blessings, well, a lot of times that doesn't happen. And that whole funky promise that Jesus mentioned about in this world you're going to have tribulation, they just tend to skip right over that part of Scripture. And then when that tribulation comes and that testing of our faith, that's when they come and make the withdrawal. I'm not so sure anymore. I thought it was going to work out, and it was a lot easier before I even started following God. And then you see people walking away from their faith left and right. They're withdrawing the hope of salvation. And the reality is, where are they putting their hope? They usually aren't putting it anywhere. They're just tired of trusting God, I guess. I don't know. But Paul is addressing that, and he says, you don't ever have to doubt that security. You don't ever have to doubt your salvation. You don't ever have to doubt that at the end of this life, no matter how difficult it is, you will have your hope rewarded. You will spend eternity with Jesus Christ. He's telling them that. So he's like saying, be strong. Go, man, go. Don't give up. And so it's very important, even if we're talking about the matter of faith, that we trust the Lord even if we don't understand things. We trust the Lord even if 1 + 1 still doesn't make 2 yet in our life. It's just very, very important. So I think as I've been processing this, some of the stuff that I've kind of asked God in just reflecting about this, I was like, well, Lord, what do I do then with some of these things? I have to literally name it and then give it to God. And was it on Tuesday that we talked about this, right? We talked about this on Tuesday. I asked the ministry team, I said, when it comes to casting our burdens on God, it is no good, it's not effective if we just cast vague, unnamed things from our backpack onto God. I really do see you and I have to say what it is that we are casting on the Lord. I know that might sound petty, but spend the time. Spend the time identifying and naming it. It'd be like naming those two apes and then taking them out and cast them before the Lord. And so I don't know tonight. The reason I think this is an important message is because I truly see in my spiritual eyes that many Christians, this isn't a mar on your Christianity. This is called just living. That many people are carrying heavy, heavy loads right now. Heavy loads. And it might be us in just this room I'm thinking and feeling. But I know if you are carrying a heavy load, here's the reality. You are never and should never see yourself as the one that's supposed to carry that burden. I don't see a place in Scripture where the Lord says through His Word, you are meant to carry the load while I watch you. That's not the context. But yet that's the way we live many times. And I really do see that we as Christians have to be so trusting of God. Your faith has to be so activated that you do not doubt if, let's name one, money. It's one of the big five. Money. That you do not doubt provision from God. You can't wake up in the morning, the first thing that is plaguing your mind, money. And then the last thing that you think on when you go to bed, money. Boom. If that's your existence, you need to name that and you need to do whatever you can possibly do in a prayer of committal and bring that ugly ape that has been growing and is probably now beating the snot out of you as a Christian, probably leading you to feel like a defeated, weak, not victorious Christian just because you're feeling so much stress. You need to be able to say, I don't care if I go without. I am going to trust God to provide for my every single need, no matter what it is. This does not mean it's without tears. Often when you're committing these things to the Lord, you are crying. Why? Because you have identified with this as the way you think and operate. You almost don't know yourself unless you're stressing over it. And God is now saying, give that to me. I carry it. You can't carry it anymore. And that's almost like losing a part of you. But do it, because it's just growing and getting bigger and bigger. There are other things that I feel we should name at times. Sometimes it's, I don't know. Maybe we shouldn't name all of it, maybe. Let me just ask you this as a rhetorical question. In Matthew 11:30, when Jesus said, come to me, all those who are weary and burdened for my, you know, come to me because my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Put that now in the context of what we've defined as a burden. When Jesus said, hey, come to me because the things on my mind don't weary it. That's good. The things that flood through my mind don't weary it. The things that I do with my physical body, it's not going to weary it. Spiritually, it's not going to zap me. I'm not going to lose that soulful strength and source. So then now I look at it and I go, well, then why did he say that? And why did he say it in that specific context? Because in this context, we are carrying the burden and the load. In the context that Jesus described, he said it's a yoke, that big wood yoke that tied two work animals together. But Jesus is saying, you come, cast those burdens on me, we're yoked together, and my yoke for you is going to be light. How I think of it is when I was little and my dad said, hey, let's go. And often that just meant he picked me up and we went. And I think it's probably like what I thought when I say, hey, come on, girls, let's go. When they were real little, the space between their feet were just like this. And I had no patience. So if I was going to get anywhere quick, that meant I had to pick them up. So I was just too bit. So I pick them up and I go. That way I can walk my full stride. In their world, it was easy. Why? They were going to end up in the same place I was ending up, but what did they do to even get there? Nothing. Nothing but enjoy the ride. And so when I think of Christianity, Christianity's invite is now cast all of the burden and the load onto me. You can't do it. That's the first reality. And if you can't do any of it, then why do you carry any of it? So then what do? We have to get better at even naming it and then casting it on God and stirring that faith up. The funny thing is I'm realizing more and more that when I have a care and a concern about anything under the sun, he knows before I even turn it into an ask. And if that's the way he knows and loves me, well then, why would I ever hesitate to just kind of try putting it into words and naming it in the first place? And then, if he is the kind of father that he would never withhold good things from me, and he's already made it so clear that to invite, come and let me carry your burden for you, why would I sit there in his presence with my arms full and his arms empty, and he's just going, anytime, anytime. I think there is a shift that has to happen in our life and on our Christianity. And here's what I believe is holding us back. One of my teachers in Bible school used to say, he goes, at every Christian stage of development, there is a change that must take place where you exchange something for what God wants to give you. There's a trade that has to happen. And it's usually like as we grow precept upon precept. Here's what I think, God. And he goes, yeah, that's stinking thinking. Give me that stinking thinking. I'm going to give you the right way to think. And then you change it. And in with that change comes all these blessings and everything. But in order to change, we have to confront the pain of changing. Looking at ourselves differently than we've ever looked at them. Looking at church sometimes differently, looking at our families differently, looking at life differently. And so the pain of that transformation is often so difficult, we would much rather stay the same in our constant pain, the one that we're always going to the Lord and going, this is horrible. But instead of actually changing, which is evidently so scary, we'll just stay in that pain forever. And you know, and that's where I see a lot of Christians. Sadly, I see them there. And they just accept that as, well, that's just the way it's got to be. And I just want you to know, that's not the way it has to be. It doesn't have to be that way. You don't have to be in the same cycles that you've always been. You can be in a totally different cycle. You don't have to look at yourself in the same way you've always looked at yourself. Just because you started out as an angry Irish person doesn't mean you have to die an angry Irish person. You can die a happy Italian. So, I mean, it's amazing, but you're a whole new creature. And with God, everything that used to be about you can literally fade away. And it's just by process of change. So tonight, I think this is a simple message. It really is a simple message, but I hope you get something from it because I feel it's profound. The reason I even sang some of those songs tonight, like Trading Sorrows, I'm trading my sorrows, Lord. I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord. You know, some of you have to pick up the joy. You've been carrying such sorrow. It's like I think you just might feel like sorrow has just always got to be a part of your life. Like somehow that's a badge of good Christianity. And I just want to go, no. Carry some joy. What about the fearful expectation of harm? Do you realize that a lot of people carry that weird pessimistic outlook like, well, we're going to try our best and then it'll fail miserably, but thank God for grace. And I go, what in the world is that kind of an outlook? It's not very life-giving, and that does not have to be the way you operate and look at things. You literally can say what is painful and not changing today. By the grace and power of God, he's the one pulling the weight. It can go from point A to point B. I don't have to pull it. If it's a battle, I couldn't win it if it was all up to me anyway. Thank God he's the one fighting the battle. So in the meantime, what do? Be carried, exist, rest. Those are totally different concepts. I mean, how bad is it? When you're wanting to be stressed over something, to just say, instead, I'm going to rest. How bad is it when you feel so horrible, but you say, instead of feeling horrible and downcast, I'm going to refuse to be that, and I'm going to rejoice. Rejoice in what, you might ask? There's a whole list of good things that we can rejoice in. Some of it, we haven't seen the fullness of it yet, but your faith apprehends it. Rejoice in it. And, man. All right. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Prayers of committal. I don't know if they're done, but how do we want to do this? Can I just worship a little on the piano? And can we shut some lice off?
Lice.
Can we shut the lice off? And we'll shut the lice off. And let's do this. I want you to put some of this into action. We haven't, you know, we've been talking for how many weeks about prayer, but we haven't really done any prayer yet on these. And here's what I would like you to do. I want to just play and I want to worship, but I want you to name some of the things that have been burdens that you've been carrying. Not out loud for me, but I want you to name them for God. And if you have a prayer journal, if you have something like that that you brought with you, well, then write it down in that. Well, it's dark now, so you really can't see to write. But I would like you to just go through this almost as an exercise. And let's just see what it is that the Lord can do with all of this. And you don't have to manufacture sadness or weepiness. That is not what this is about. This is really as simple as recall. Maybe it's already jumped into your mind. Recall those things that have been a burden to you recently. Recall those things that have been a heavy weight, wearing out your mind, your physical body. And we're just gonna maybe give it to the Lord. Amen. Sadness, wherever you've been, come brokenhearted, then rescue begin. Come find your mercy, O sinner, come kneel. For earth has no sorrow that heaven can heal. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can heal. Mm-hmm.
down your burdens. Lay down your shame. All who are broken, lift up your face. Wanderer, come home. You're not too far. Lay down your hurt, lay down your heart. Come as you are. I felt like the Lord just put in my heart the picture of this Superman. And I feel like some can easily fall into that temptation that we got this, Lord. And I think for a few that I'm sensing in my heart and my mind, I just believe it's the Lord that right now I am teaching this message and I'm talking to you because you need to hear this, and it's not even so much for something you're facing today, but it might be something that you're going to face very soon. And you will default to your normal MO, which is, you got this. I'm gonna figure it out. I'm gonna attack this with my mind. I'm gonna attack this with my effort. I'm gonna attack this with some counseling and some help and over things like that. And I don't know about you, but if you're pretty resourceful, that's probably where you go. You go to, I got this. I'm strong enough. And tonight is an opportunity for you to say in faith, I refuse to work like that in my Christian life. You do not have it. God does. And I think tonight, casting your burden on the Lord is simply you just affirming for your own good that God is the one carrying the burden. You're not big enough, smart enough, strong enough, powerful enough to do it, and you have to be able to make that mind up. It's like this song came to me, and it's kind of the way that I would say it if I were putting it in a prayer. Oh, all of you is more than enough for all of me, for every thirst and every need. You satisfy me with your love. And all I have in you, oh, all of you is more than enough for all of me, for every thirst and every need. You satisfy me with your love, and all I have in you is more than enough. You are my supply, my breath of life. Still more awesome than I know. You are my reward, worth living for. Still more awesome than I know. All of you is more than enough for all of me, for every thirst and every need. You satisfy me with your love, and all I have in you is more than enough. More than enough. More than enough. Oh.
Oh, you can carry any burden, Lord, more than enough. More than enough. Are you still worrying about something? Would you stand and sing tonight in closing? All of you is more than enough for all of me, for every thirst and every need. Oh, you satisfy me with your love and all I have in you. Sing that again. All of you is more than enough for all of me, for every thirst and every need. Oh, you satisfy me with your love, and all I have in you is more than enough. You're more than enough. More than enough.
Amen. His shoulders are bigger, aren't they?
Amen.
Well, praise God. Well, you know what? We got plenty of time for you to have cookies and hug on somebody here tonight. So, well, he's dismissed. The gospel washed me.